Can you believe it? I'm almost to the Anarchy and Podcasting Magical Podcast Lodge today. My team's away, my normal backup crew ate at McHugh's last night, so, you know, they were out of it. But I figure, what's the worst that could happen? So right before I open the door, which also happens to be where the manor barrier is, this huge fraggin' wasp spirit flies at me out of nowhere. Now, I'm not saying I couldn't have taken it on my own, but it did catch me by surprise, and, you know, it wasn't looking good for old Opti. So before I have a chance to even think about hitting this bug with a mana bolt the size of Texas, this old grizzled rigger comes from around the corner, and his drone's firing away and busts open this bug's hoop so I don't have to. My appreciation goes to Old Scout. Who says there's no nice guys in our business? Well, he did shake me down for some Nuyen. I gladly gave it to him. Still, Old Scout, if you're listening, appreciate it. Now, you know that I've been giving you the straight truth about Ares recently, right? Well, I'm not saying there's a connection, but there's a connection. I'll explain in due time. This is the penultimate episode of Season 1, coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix. The Anarchy and Podcasting Network is fresh and in your face! And I am your host, Opti. I am in the house, live, and in full effect. You are listening to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and today we cover 6th World History from 2044 to 2046. Before we get started, I hear some of you runners listening are drawing too much heat in Seattle. Perhaps you have accumulated some notoriety, maybe the local knight-errant coppers know you on a first-name basis. Maybe you pissed off some of the big nasty crime families in the Northwest. Or maybe the Shire isn't the safest place for you right now. Well, head to Chicago, adventurous Shadowrunners. Old Opti has more jobs than he does runners. And some of these jobs are even do-gooder Robin Hood types. But those go fast, so hurry up. I like Nuyen as much as you, and I hate passing on a job just because I don't have the runners to make it happen. As it turns out, I owe some orc decker that you've never heard of a favor, so I sent my normal go-to guys out to Seattle for a bit. So hurry up, and bring your jukebox money. Now, back to the good stuff. Here's what was happening on a global stage. First, and with the most long-reaching effects, Aztechnology ordered the government of Aztlan to nationalize all non-Aztechnology corporate assets within the borders of Aztlan. They did, of course, and seized the lawful property of any other corporation, including the AAA Corps. Then, Aztlan sold those assets to Aztechnology at obnoxious discounts. This angered the corporate court to no end, but their hands were tied due to Aztechnology's ability to veto any military strike against them. As a result, a secret operation called Omega Order was declared against Aztechnology. An Omega Order allowed for one AAA Corp, or another company, to be ganged up on by the others. Of course, they didn't act right away, and so Aztechnology continues this seizure for years. Across the globe, when corporations pull their support from the South German League, it completely falls apart, and Germany is reorganized into the Allied German States. Nobody really cares, but Carl Preston gets himself re-elected to the presidency of the UCAS. Feeling rather bold after its recent acquisitions, Aztlan, backed by Aztechnology, gobbles up Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, all into their new Aztlan Republic in Central America. And on January 23rd, 2046, an earthquake occurs in southern Aztlan, killing 14,000 and virtually closing the Panama Canal. As a result, a month later, Aztlan is able to claim the canal for its sole use. Strange how even natural disasters benefit Aztlan. Except it's not strange. Aztlan and their patron gods at Aztechnology are bad mojo, little crows. I'm not saying that I wouldn't take a job for them, and I know a few halfway decent chummers along their power chain, but at the top, it's Creepsville. I could tell you stories about Aztechnology that would have you running back to your mama. But, as with many other things, that'll have to wait for another time. The United Nations moves its headquarters to Geneva, Switzerland, signs a new charter. On June 19, 2045, a nuclear reactor near Los Angeles explodes and creates a tsunami filled with radioactive fungus, comes to be known as the Green Tide. The green tide overwhelms coastal cities from Ventura in the north to Oceanside in the south, coming dangerously close to San Diego as well. While authorities played down the radioactivity of the wave, they also left out the largest threat. The bacteria was being cultivated in joint venture with Pacific Foods and was trying to create a new fungus-based food source, and were using nuclear energy to spur faster growth. Well, it worked, and the plant exploded, creating a wasteland of fungus-eaten coastal cities. To this day, scientists have been unable to control the fungus and its spread. The only thing that has been able to stop them are roaches. And due to the hyped-up food they're consuming, those ugly suckers grow to longer than a foot long. Happy hunting. In sheer Tarangira, an all-Simpsons theme park opens up close to Portland, and of course, it's an immediate hit. Further north, a new elven group emerges out of the Algonquian tribes called the Manitou. The nation is rechristened the Algonquian Manitou Council. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, the gigantic mana warp causes the entire city of Jerusalem to be abandoned. Less than 2 years later, the United Nations takes over Jerusalem, and gives its political power to a council made up of various faiths and cultures to rule them from then on. Over in Seattle, Kenneth Brackhaven's father dies in 2044, and so Kenneth takes his sizable inheritance and his business assets left over from his father and forms the Citizens Coalition for Security, which of course is a fairly staunch anti-metahuman lobbying organization. He goes on, Kenneth Brackhaven, to run for president and eventually becomes mayor of Seattle in 2070. But did you know that he used to be an orc? That's right, kiddies. He awakened into his hearty self in 2023, but went into remission? He unawakened? His daddy claims to have had the best doctors and scientists cure him, but there was something not right there. As it turns out, no small thanks to some Shadowrunners at the time, Kenneth's secret comes out. Kenneth Brackhaven isn't Kenneth Brackhaven. His dad had him offed back in the day and replaced him with another kid who he raised as Kenneth Brackhaven. Of course, thinking this would ruin his campaign, tried to keep that quiet, but the Shadowrunners let it out and, as it turns out, he was able to spin it into some sob story. Gets himself elected anyway. There's politics for you. Now for the corporate news. In May of 2045, the corporate court gives extraterritoriality to the Wuxing Corporation, which, as we all know, eventually leads to them becoming one of the AAA corps. In January of 2046, a new reality TV show comes on, taking reality to the next level. Really. The show's called Desert Wars, taking place in the former nation of Libya, breaks all previously held ratings records with its recordings of war between various corporate security forces. It is kind of fun. Now, for your daily dose of Dragon Madness. What? No dragon news? Well, maybe they were busy eating kittens or something. Eh. Miscellaneous news. It was April of 2045 that the Universal Brotherhood moved up from the California Free State and set up its first chapter house in Seattle and took off like a rocket. The poor and hungry and lonely and depressed of Seattle scuttled to their front door like 12-inch long roach devouring radioactive fungus. And why not? They offered food, lodging, community, and a positive message that was seriously lacking in the sixth world thus far. I don't blame anyone for looking for that stuff. Of course, it wasn't even a year later that Paul Grigg, a shaman of some note, and the husband of the Universal Brotherhood's founder, Caitlin O'Connell, committed suicide following a year of declining physical and mental health. Sometimes I guess brotherhood just ain't enough. Somewhere behind the scenes in 2046, an Austrian lab experimenting with the HMHVV, the human-metahuman vampire virus, makes a shocking discovery. They find that there is a strain of the HMHVV called HMHVV1A that only affects humans, and rather than having vampiric effects, it has sort of a super vampire effect, turning the host into a Nosferatu. In that same year, the lab's experiments yield the first documented case of a goblin, when a dwarf is witnessed to transform when infected with the HMHVV1 strain. Now, we haven't talked much about this before, so perhaps we'll do a special episode on the HMHVV virus and the supernaturally inspired metahumans it births. But not today. Oh, here's my favorite news of this episode. Nessie is finally discovered and documented as an awakened freshwater serpent living in the Loch Ness in Scotland. Woohoo! Followed by my least favorite news of this episode, being that the Humanus Poly Club, the most racist organization to ever walk the earth, and the successors of the worst-dressed organization, the KKK, is formed in Texas in 2046. It was around this time that Hanzo Shodozumi became the head of the Yakuza in Seattle. Hanzo brings back a lot of the traditional Yakuza flair and values, and makes a major push to expand the reach of the Yakuza family all around the Northwest sprawls. And he succeeds. In a strange bit of news that I'm not sure how I feel about, in 2044, the Olympic Games are held again for the first time since 2032. The catch is, not only are nations competing, but the corporations are allowed to compete as well. Some sad news for some. The band Concrete Dreams played their last live concert in 2044 at Club Penumbra in Seattle. I didn't get to see it. Alas, Ol' Opti missed the show. In fact, I didn't even become a fan of theirs until much later with their studio albums. Sad, really. Unless you happen to know that they sometimes play small live gigs when the mood strikes them. Keep an eye out for the actual handwritten signs around the Playfair nightclub in Seattle if you're interested. Continuing with the music news, Shieldwall released their first album in 2046, and straight out of Seattle, angst-ridden rocker Jet Black explodes onto the music scene and within the same year achieves megastar status. Jet Black lives, little crows! Unfortunately, this podcast cannot live forever. If you have now wasted what time that you have, a perfectly good slot of time that you can never get back, listening to the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unidinium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your host, Opti, seeking all things wondrous, making noise that is thunderous, correcting all of the blunderous with a particularly special kind of wonderlust and backed up by a raven-powered blunderbuss. Enjoy your freedom. You will almost certainly outlive it.